Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up for you, later on in the program, a review of the new animated film, Tangled. But right now, on the musical portion of the show, we're putting the spotlight on English minimalist composer Michael Nyman. Nyman, to film buffs, is best known for his collaborations with director Peter Greenaway, and we're going to be featuring some of those in just a moment. But right now, we're going to kick off the show with what may very well be Nyman's most popular score. It was written for a film in which music plays a very important role, Jane Campion's impressive drama, The Piano. Let's take a listen to some of that now. Thank you. That's music written for the piano by composer Michael Nyman, whose music we're spotlighting on the program today. As I promised, we're going to feature selections from some of his collaborations with director Peter Greenaway. We're going to begin with one of their earliest collaborations back in 1982, a movie called The Droughtsman's Contract. And this piece, wonderfully entitled Chasing Sheep, is best left to shepherds. That's music from The Droughtsman's Contract, written by Michael Nyman. What a splendid piece of music that is. Next up, we move ahead to 1985, and the next collaboration between Nyman and Greenaway, A Zed and Two Knots. Thank you. similarly energetic minimalist music from Michael Nyman, written for a Zed and two Noughts. Next up, we jump ahead to 1989 and another collaboration between Greenaway and Nyman, this one the splendidly titled The Cook, The Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover.
Thank you.
That's music from The Cook, The Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover by Michael Nyman. That piece differs from the previous two for Greenaway Films in that it has a little bit more room to breathe and a little more warmth, too, I think. Next up, we move to 1991 and another Greenaway film, Prospero's Books. That's music for Prospero's Books, and that's where we'll conclude our examination of the collaboration between Michael Nyman and Peter Greenaway for the moment. Nyman has also worked on a number of Hollywood films. One of his more noteworthy efforts was Neil Jordan's The End of the Affair, which starred Julianne Moore and Ralph Fiennes. Let's take a listen to some of that impassioned score. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting music by composer Michael Nyman on the program today. And next up, we offer a selection written for a film directed by Michael Winterbottom, and this is actually one of my favorite Nyman scores. This piece in particular, just a sublime piece of composition. This is music written for The Claim. Take a listen. stunning music written for The Claim by composer Michael Nyman. Now, as I said, that's one of my favorite Nyman scores, and next up we have another one written for a Michael Winterbottom movie, and this one is Michael Nyman's own personal favorite score. He really loves this effort. This is music written for the 1999 drama Wonderland. Let's take a listen. That's music from Wonderland, the Michael Winterbottom film, not the one with Val Kilmer about John Holmes. And that score is one that's difficult to really summarize on a program like this because it has a lot of different ideas. That's only one of them. And you could really devote an entire show to sort of deconstructing the many ideas Nyman has in that score. Next up, we offer music from one of the most blatantly mainstream movies Nyman ever scored, Andrew Niccol's science fiction drama Gattaca. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music for Gattaca, written by Michael Nyman, as was all the music on today's program. I do hope you enjoyed it. And right now, it's time to move along to this week's movie review of the new film Tangled, which is Disney's 50th animated film and reportedly the last of its princess movies for the foreseeable future. It seems the House of Mouse feels there's more money to be made by turning its attention to the young male crowd, and even Tangled has been given a snarky male narrator and a moderate dose of action in the hopes of keeping the boys involved. Fortunately, these cosmetic adjustments do little to change the fact that Tangled recaptures some of the magic that made Disney princess movies so special to begin with. Naturally, our story begins a long time ago in a faraway land. An elderly woman discovers a magical flower that grants her the gift of perpetual youth. Rather than sharing this flower with others, she chooses to hide it and keep it for herself. One day, the queen of the land falls ill, and the king sends all of his men to search for the magical flower. The flower is found, dug up, and used to heal the very pregnant queen. Soon after, the queen gives birth to a girl named Rapunzel, whose hair has retained the magical healing powers of the flower. After realizing this, the elderly woman kidnaps the baby and whisks her away to a hidden tower, ensuring that she will be able to continue using magic to retain her youth. Fast forward to Rapunzel's 18th birthday. She's voiced by Mandy Moore in the film. Rapunzel is a bright, cheerful young woman too sheltered to realize what a miserable life she has. She's been trapped inside the tower her entire life and is warned by her mother that the outside world is full of unspeakable horrors. Nonetheless, Rapunzel has dreamed of someday exploring the world beyond her tower. When a rakish thief named Flynn, voiced by Zachary Levi, discovers her tower, she makes a bargain with him. If he'll take her on a guided tour of the outside world, she'll give him back the priceless crown that he stole from the palace. Flynn agrees, taking Rapunzel on a journey that will eventually lead to romance, adventure, and self-discovery. I didn't really want to see Tangled, despite being a fan of Disney films in general. The trailers made it look like a painful Shrek imitation, substituting tenderness and sincerity for manic action and snarky humor. I assumed it would essentially be a big-budget version of one of those awful, unstable fables straight-to-DVD cartoon. Imagine how surprised I was to discover that Tangled is one of Disney's better fairy tales of recent years, capturing the spirit of classic Disney princess movies more effectively than the respectable but underwhelming The Princess and the Frog. To begin with, Rapunzel is a marvelous protagonist. Neither the stereotypical lovesick princess of yesteryear nor the equally overused action heroine of recent times, Rapunzel is a complex, nuanced individual attempting to sort through the muddle of buried personal instincts, years of her mother's harmful brainwashing, and a generous supply of teenage hormones. Remember the joy of seeing the animated Disney princess react to the modern world in Enchanted? There's a similar measure of joy to be found in watching Rapunzel discover the contrast between what the world actually is and what her mother told her it would be. The animators have blessed her with a magnificently expressive face, which provides gentle laughs in multiple situations. Rapunzel's never-ending hair is the best-looking I've ever seen in an animated film, and the storytellers constantly find ways to put it to good use. The villainous Mother Gothel is another surprisingly nuanced character. She's an entirely different form of monster than we're used to seeing in these films, a woman who employs a brand of cruel emotional terrorism in the hopes of preventing her daughter from ever betraying her. It's rare that Mother Gothel shouts angrily at Rapunzel. She prefers to play the victim, dispense backhanded compliments, and offer passive-aggressive declarations of adoration. There's something vastly more familiar and unsettling about her behavior, and something moving in the way the film so unreservedly attacks overbearing parents that unwisely attempt to shelter their children from the outside world rather than preparing them for it. Yes, the film indulges in a bit of misplaced, snarky postmodernism in the first half. Almost all of this comes from Flynn, who seems to have wandered in from the set of a DreamWorks movie, The Road to El Dorado, perhaps. His, "Hey kids, this story's like totally cool" narration is a bit grating, but every other element of the story is presented with complete sincerity. Once the story really gets going, Flynn's cartoonish behavior subsides and the character is permitted to become a real human being. As for the aforementioned dose of action that's been injected into the movie, well, it's fine. as these scenes often feel like moments that have been forced into the story rather than organic parts of it. They lack the thrill of the action scenes in films like Toy Story 3 and How to Train Your Dragon. Still, they don't hurt the movie in any notable way, so I don't begrudge their presence. While Flynn's moments of comedy are rather tiresome, almost every other comic relief element works. This particularly applies to the two animals that appear, a little chameleon that follows Rapunzel everywhere and a bloodhound-like horse that stalks Flynn across the kingdom. The filmmakers wisely avoid making the animals talk, but they provide a lot of enjoyable physical comedy that kids will find particularly entertaining. I also enjoyed the group of drunken thugs we encounter halfway through, all of whom secretly dream of far less violent careers. The film is a musical, though it emphasizes this element less than the average Disney flick, seemingly another effort to appease the boys. However, the songs that do appear, written by the ever-reliable Alan Menken with words by Glenn Slater, are all quite good. While none of them are as immediately memorable as the best songs from The Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast, there isn't a misfire in the bunch. There's a slightly modern edge to the music here and there, as more contemporary chord shifts and strumming guitars are permitted into the mix at times, but the music always retains its integrity. While I have an instinctual fondness for the hand-drawn animation presented in The Princess and the Frog, it has to be admitted that the animators have done a rather magnificent job on the computer-generated Tangled. This is particularly evident in the film's centerpiece, a touching romantic moment in which the characters are surrounded by thousands of floating lanterns. In this moment, the music, the animation, and the storytelling hit a simultaneous high point, creating a transcendent sequence on the level of Hayao Miyazaki's finest moments. While Tangled doesn't quite reach the dizzying heights of the best recent Disney films, like Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, it's definitely in the honorable mentions category, next to the likes of The Little Mermaid, Mulan, and Aladdin. If this is truly the final Disney princess film, it's a graceful, heartfelt way to end an era, and comes highly recommended. I give it a rating of 3.5 stars out of 4. That concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week. Right now, let's conclude with one of the earlier songs from composer Alan Menken with Lyrics by Howard Ashman. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later. Wash off your mascara. Here, take my Kleenex. Wipe that lipstick away. Show me your face. Clean as the morning. I know things were bad, but now they're okay. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside you. You don't need no makeup, don't have to pretend. Suddenly Seymour is here to provide you sweet understanding. Seymour's your friend. Nobody ever treated me kindly. Daddy left early, Mama was poor. I meet a man and I follow him blindly. He'd snap his fingers at me. Strange and frightened for losers like I've been.